change the order how we do this. And we have to put me closer to the beginning so that the kids can be the highlight. Didn't they do awesome? Wasn't that absolutely fantastic? And Abby, that was wonderful. That was beautiful. That was such a great solo, and we're so thankful to God for you. And thanks, Megan, for being here with us, with your family. And it's just great. Well, listen, I'm not going to be long this morning or this evening. I'm in real trouble, aren't I? How many have ever heard that said, a preacher say, yeah, I'm not going to be long. We're going to do our best tonight. I do want to share with you. The theme tonight has been on the light of Christmas. Every carol that has been sung, the children singing, the story that has been read, has all pointed to the light. Light is one of the features of the Christmas season. In fact, one of my favorite parts after the music, after the food, after the festivities, after the family, has to be the lights. I love to walk through Sydney and just look at the wonderful light displays that are on every home. And one of the things that has become a tradition for us is every year going to Bouchard Gardens to their Christmas light show. How many have been to that? If you have not been to Bouchard Gardens yet, you've got to be there. It is absolutely spectacular how they put on a light show for this Christmas season. We took our grandkids there 2 years ago. And it was their first time seeing all the Christmas lights and all the displays. And I'll never forget little Chloe, who was 4 at the time, walking through the enchanted garden, looking up at all the sparkly lights. And she was silent. And you've got to know, for a Juthman child, that's something special. They take just after their grandma. I love you, dear. Lights are important for the season. They were important no less for the first Christmas. The angels did a dazzling light show in the night sky. That night they announced to the shepherds the Messiah's birth. A star shone brightly in the heavens, leading the Magi from Iran and Iraq through the deserts of the Middle East to Bethlehem. The Bible says in 1 John, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In fact, the very first command that God gave in creation was this: let there be light. Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. Not I was, not I will be, not I am one of many. No, I am singular only. I am the light of the world. And this is the very reason for Christmas. Jesus also said, I have come as the light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer wander in darkness. Now, Jesus is not talking about physical darkness. He is talking about personal darkness, spiritual darkness, emotional darkness. Everyone has dark days, don't they? Where you feel you don't want to get out of bed, you're afraid to face the world, you don't feel like it's worth the effort, you just want to throw in the towel, you don't want to see anybody. Well, I think we all go through those days, don't we? I think it's not hard to say that the last couple years could be described as years and a season of darkness, not knowing from one day to the next what's going to happen. And it seems just as we get out of a cycle, we're back into a cycle, and we never know, is this ever going to end? Well, tonight I want us to look at the light of Christmas in your dark days. Everyone has them. We've just described them. Everyone has dark days. But how does the light of Christmas impact those days? And so I want to look at four specific types of darkness that every one of us experiences. We all experience dark days of disappointment, distress, doubt, and even depression. One of the things that we all experience are days of disappointment. In fact, in the Old Testament, maybe some of you can identify with what Job says in his experience, "I hope for happiness and light, but trouble and darkness came instead." Anyone ever felt that way? I know I have. Where you hope for one thing and you get another and you end up disappointed. How many on Christmas morning have been hoping for that gift you've been dreaming about all year long, only to pick up that present and open that gift, only to get a pair of socks? Disappointment. We all face it. A year ago, we were online. We were in our homes, watching church and doing ministry behind a camera, sitting in our living rooms, watching a computer screen or smart TV, and that's all we could do. Come July, when the restrictions were lifted, there was great hope and optimism. Yes, it's finally over. We can finally get on with our lives. And then in only just a few short days, it seems like we're right back to where we were at the beginning. The air has been let out of our balloons, and it is so disappointing. These are dark days for us, dark days of disappointment, but along with days of disappointment come days of doubt, where we're going around and around and around, but we're not seeming to end up anywhere. How many remember playing the game, pin the tail on the donkey when you were a child? Or maybe in your kids' parties, and you would gather with your friends, and you would be blindfolded. Your friends would spin you around a half dozen or 10 times, and then you'd have to take the donkey's tail and try to put it back on the donkey. I don't know what was funnier, where the tail ended up, or watching our friends, or my friends watching me just stumble around in the dark. And sometimes life is like that, isn't it? Where we think we know what we're doing, where we should be going, we have a plan in place, and then things happen that pull the rug out from underneath us. And we don't know what to do anymore. We don't know where we're going. And we doubt, is God even still with us? Along with disappointment and doubt come days of distress. Days when you feel overwhelmed, when you're stretched out, when you're stretched to the limit and frustrated. When you've got too much to do and you don't have enough time to do it, especially at Christmas time. And then when you go out and you find out you've got more month than money, and you're in distress, what am I going to do? How am I going to get that gift? How am I going to get ready for Christmas? And we put ourselves in a tizzy. And like David, we cry out, I cry desperately for help, but it still does not come. It seems to never end. And the dark days of distress just stretch us to the limit. And if that isn't bad enough, there are dark days of depression. Dark days of depression. That's when our lives cave in. When you're depressed, you say, what's the use? I might as well give up. Maybe it was a marriage breakdown, the death of a loved one. Maybe you worked hard at work for that promotion only for it to be given to someone else. Maybe you got laid off during COVID. Maybe you faced a major illness and not you've gone beyond disappointment and doubt and distress. Your world has caved in, and now the dark clouds of depression have been overwhelming you. And maybe like David, you feel that there is only darkness everywhere. And when you're in this kind of situation, you wonder, does anybody care? Does anybody know where I am? Does anybody realize what I'm going through and the pain I'm feeling? Well, if you don't get anything else from this service tonight, I have good news to share with you. And the news is this, that God cares. Not only is he with you, he is for you. He cares about you because you matter to him. Regardless who you are tonight, male or female, rich or poor, whether you've come to church all of your life or this is your first time, whether you're young or old, it doesn't matter. God loves you. He cares for you. He sees where you are. He's with you and he is for you. So what do you do in these dark days? How can I know? How will God be with me? How does Jesus being the light help me in my days of disappointment, distress, doubt, and depression? Yeah, we're going to have days of disappointment. But Jesus' light dispels the darkness. Because when everything else fails, when everyone else disappoints us, he never does. For he is near the discouraged. He saves those who have lost all hope. And the first way that he encourages us, he says, I am with you, I am near. Do you remember in the New Testament? Part of the Christmas story is after the angel Gabriel announced to Mary that she would give birth to the Christ child, Mary goes off on a journey to Jerusalem to spend some time with her cousins, Elizabeth and Zechariah. She's trying to figure out all what's going on and what God said to her. And during that time, she has been espoused or engaged to Joseph. They are as good as married, except for one thing. They couldn't come together as man and wife, at least for a year. And so can you just try to put yourself in Joseph's place as he is waiting for his sweetheart to come home after several months? He wants to embrace her. He wants to show her the home he is building for her. He's so excited. And as she arrives and comes back, and perhaps she's on a wagon and she gets off, the air is sucked out of him as he sees that that wonderful, sweet girl is now about 7 to 8 months pregnant. And he's not the dad. She tries to explain to him, Joseph, believe me, it was an angel. God said, oh, you're going to blame God now. He can't understand it. He had been building a life, and now all of a sudden, everything is shattered. It comes down on him. He doesn't know where to go. He doesn't know where to turn. And then in the night, an angel appears to him in a dream. The same angel that spoke to Mary and said, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child that is within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. He is the Son of God, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he quotes the Old Testament Isaiah prophecy from Isaiah 7:14 that he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And this is the assurity that you and I have, that when life is disappointing, when life is distressing, when life is pulling us apart and we are depressed, we can have this assurance that no matter where we find ourselves, Jesus is with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He encourages me. He strengthens me when I'm distressed. Even though I go through deepest darkness, he says, I will not be afraid, Lord, for you are with me. He guides me when I am in doubt and don't know where to go. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through darkness, for living light will flood your path. Oh, I'm so grateful for that. For in days when I didn't know where to turn, where to go, what direction to take, I could always trust that when I put my faith in Jesus and when I studied his word, his light, the light of his word, the light of his love, the light of his spirit directs me in the way that I should go. And when I am depressed, he just doesn't say, cheer up, get on with it, get a life. No, but his life floods my being with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Paul, one of Jesus' followers, writes, it is possible for light to turn the thing it shines upon into light itself. In other words, when the light is turned on, it reveals everything that's there. I know we have a number of grandparents in the room tonight. I got to tell you, there's nothing like being a grandparent. Would you agree with me? There's nothing like being a grandpa. And one of the things that I love being with my grandkids when I can is at night when I'm putting little Ellis to bed and when the door is closed, it's dark. It is so dark. Except for the light around the perimeter of the door on the outside. And I'll say, Papa, stand in the light so I can see you. But it's so dark, Ellis. No, there's light, Papa. Stand in the light so I can see you. And it doesn't matter how dark the room is, as long as there is that little flicker of light, it pierces the darkness so that whatever is there that could scare him is done away, is blown away, because he can always see his papa. And folk, that's how it is with you and I. It may get dark. It may seem the world in its darkness is crouching in upon you, but when the light of Jesus comes, no matter how dark that is, his light pierces the darkness so you can see him. And he's saying, here I am. It's okay. You're going to be all right. The light shines in the darkness. One of the things that I never thought of until I read it earlier this week. But I want you to think about that first Christmas. And I know we like to think romantically how on that night, when it was announced Jesus was born, the shepherds came and then the three wise men came. Well, the fact of the matter is that those wise men probably didn't come until a good year and a half to 2 years after Jesus was born. They had to travel across desert on camels. They traveled from as far as Iraq to the promised land. And it wasn't just three. We understand there was three because of the three types of gifts that were given. But it could have been dozens of magi that came with wagon loads of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But as they came following the light of a star. And I never thought of this, but think of this with me tonight. There were other people that probably saw the star. It was in the sky and anybody could see it from wherever they lived. Probably thousands, if not millions, could see the bright, unusual light shining in the black Middle Eastern sky. But they didn't do anything about it. Millions saw the light, but they did nothing about it. The Magi, they followed the light. They were looking for the light. They were looking for what would be at the end of that light, what the light would reveal. The point is, tonight you can choose either darkness or light. You can choose to live in the dark nights of the soul or winter's content, discontent, as Shakespeare called it. You can live in those dark nights, or you can choose to live in the light of Christ and his grace. God shines the sun on everyone, but you can choose tonight. Will you come into the light? Will you come into his light? Will you experience the warmth of his light, the direction his light gives, the assurance and confidence his light brings to you? If you want to get out of the dark days, then you must choose to start living in the light. It's your choice. I know we all came here tonight for various reasons. Some of us came because we love to gather and sing the songs that give glory to Jesus. We come because of our relationship with Jesus. There are others who have come out of tradition or habit because it's the thing to do on Christmas Eve. Some of you were invited by a friend or a family member to come, and we so welcome you here tonight. Maybe you came because you saw the light of the sign outside and you thought you'd check us out. But whatever your reason is tonight, I want us all to know that we are all here because God has brought us here for a reason. He's all brought us here, not by accident, but by purpose. And he doesn't care about your religious background, your financial background, your educational background. None of this matters. We are not talking about a religion tonight. We're talking about entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You may have thought you came for one reason, but God brought you here so that you can understand that you matter to God. God wants you to know that he knows all about you, and he wants you to know him. He came in a human form that you can relate to Jesus. He says to you, I love you. I want to have a relationship with you. Not religion with rituals or rules or regulations. He's talking about a relationship with a living person. For Jesus didn't just be born as a manger in Bethlehem. He grew to be a man. As a man, he performed miracles. He taught the multitudes. He was arrested, he was tortured and crucified and died on a cruel cross. Why? Because he loves you. But he didn't just die. The Bible says 3 days later, he rose from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he says to you and I tonight, come into the light. No matter who you are tonight or where you've come from, maybe you've known the light before in your past, but the light of faith has grown dim. Your heart has grown cold. God says to you, come on home, child. I'm waiting. I've got a feast done, and it's better than turkey and dressing. I've got something good for you. Just come home. Many of you have been going through difficult, dark days. You're ready to give up. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus Christ comes into your darkest moment and he shines his light of love and grace. Will you come into his light tonight? Will you choose to follow him tonight? He loves you, and he's waiting for you. I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes. If you're here tonight, Maybe you're visiting for the first time. Maybe you've come here many times, but you don't have a relationship. You may be here out of ritual or religion, but God's calling you into a relationship. If that's you tonight, I want you to pray this prayer. Maybe you've known the Lord. That light was once shining bright in your heart, but it's grown dim over time. He wants to reignite the light tonight. He wants to reignite your joy, your hope, your peace, his love, if you will open your heart to him tonight. I'm going to ask us to pray this prayer together with me. Dear God, I've had many dark days in my life, and I know that now I need your light in my life. I need your light to heal me, guide me, comfort me, and save me. I confess that I have sinned against you, and I ask you for forgiveness. As much as I know how, Jesus, I open my life to the light of your love. I want to accept you as God's Christmas gift to me. I want to learn to follow you and trust you. And I humbly ask you to accept me into your family by grace, not because I deserve it, but because I put my faith in you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. With everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask if there was anyone here tonight and you prayed that prayer with me. I'm going to say a prayer for you in a moment, but if there's anyone who prayed that prayer, young or old, no matter where you are, would you just raise your hand quickly? We're going to pray with you. Anyone here tonight, you're praying and asking Jesus to come into your heart, into your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for every person, for every boy and girl, mom and dad, and every grandma and grandpa that is here tonight. And Lord, tonight we have heard a message that you're calling us into your life, into our relationship with you. And I ask you tonight to minister by your Spirit to each and every heart, that you will make yourself real to anyone and everyone who has called out to you tonight and pray to receive you. Lord, I just commit them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.